But I'm sure honorable members will also understand that that is not just enough. And when we deal with the matter, they will be able to express their views, which I think is common knowledge, that it is not just enough to help the victory, but the big question still remains, was it necessary in the first place that we expose ourselves in that manner with regard to the sale of the strategic stock. But having said so, honorable members, are there any apologies?
Good morning, Chair and the members. We've got apology from Ms. Madokwe. She's not joining us today. And we've got an apology from the minister. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Mylan.
Chairperson, I'd just like to apologize for my problems with the unmuting on Wednesday last week. I seem to have sorted it out, but I just couldn't unmute. I was able to hear you, but I couldn't connect my video or my sound.
Okay, no, that's fine. Point taken, Honorable Mylan. We did, in fact, Honorable Phillips did alert us on your situation. Sometimes it's things that are beyond our control, and I think it's welcome your explanation with that. But I don't know. We just encourage members at times. Although I don't know, we will have to get a ruling on this thing as to what happens when technology is the one that is blocking me, but I can still participate in terms of listening. I don't think we'll discuss it now, but I think if we're in Parliament, in the House, I would say the table staff will have to assist us. Do I participate by writing on the wall what are my views? If I do so, does that count as if I'm in when the locking in? Because at some point in the early stages, I remember I was in a similar situation. I could hear what was happening, but I was not recorded as someone who has locked in, but I could write on the wall what I wanted to write. So we'll have to down the line so that we don't have such problems in future in the committee or in the House. Must look for a direction on that. But having said so, honorable members, today the main issue is the report by the State Diamond Trader, and then we will deal with the minutes, and then we will take members through the what is proposed both. For the final leg of this year, as well as for the beginning of next year in terms of the program. DG, I did not receive your apology, so I assume that with your presence, the State Diamond Trader is also present here. You will then be able to lead us in terms of the discussions and the presentation by the State Diamond Trader, including the challenge. But as before we go to that, honorable members, we have tried just for the sake of benefits, which I hope if we do finally agree to that, we have enclosed some of the information that was coming from DPS, both in terms of the challenges in the industry. Maybe, I'm not saying I can't lead the committee, maybe down the line we might finally agree that we need a full comprehensive on the current state of the diamond industry. And the challenges, the trade challenges that exist for this, and maybe consider not just dealing with the State Diamond Trader, but also a key role player like DPS might be considered. I'm just saying for future references, so that whatever is being done, there is a better scope to understand what are the basic challenges. But at this stage, we must get it from the entity, which is the state diamond trader, but through you, DG.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Greetings to you, Chair, and also greetings to the honorable members of the PPC on Mineral Resources and Energy, all the Deputy Directors General that are in attendance, and the CEO of the state diamond trader, the chief directors, as well as directors and executive management of the trader, the parliamentary and the ministry support staff, as well as the representative of the Minerals Council. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, for affording us with an opportunity to make this presentation to yourself as members of the PPC. I'll just give a brief overview. Then the CEO then take honorable members through the presentation. Honorable Chair and honorable members, as we are all aware that the pandemic has impacted, you know, all industries negatively. And now the diamond industry has also been negatively affected. It should, however, be noted that the diamond industry had, you know, some troubles since from 2019, and now with most industry leaders comparing that period to the recession of 2008. And therefore, the diamond industry was in some sort of recovery phase at the beginning of 2020, and COVID-19 took effect, creating uncertainty across the diamond pipeline. Now, I'll just reflect on the global challenges that we are faced with as the industry, that is both in mining, manufacturing, as well as retail. Short-term challenges caused mining and the midstream revenues to shrink by almost 25% and 10% respectively in 2019. Available financing for the midstream players decreased by $5 billion USDs since 2013. And also the global demand, jewelry retail sales were expected to decline by 2% in US dollars, but this has worsened as a result of the pandemic. We know that there is also a drop in polished diamonds, and we have also experienced rough diamonds sales that fell by an average of 25% in 2019. The lockdown by most of the major consuming markets at the beginning of 2020 created uncertainty in the global diamond industry. But the recovery, although cautiously, has been witnessed when you look at the different alert levels, because there was also a conscious decision to try to ensure that as much as we are focusing in protecting the lives and also we looked around the question of the livelihood as well. And so there was a bit of, in fact, coming into effect of some positive, you know, aspects in as far as the industry is concerned. And now the reopening of the Chinese market has been a saving grace for the industry from the perspective of the consumption of polished diamonds as well as diamond jewelry. Now, as I've explained, Honorable Chair, that the presentation to follow would look specifically on challenges that exist within the South African diamond industry and also the specific interventions that we are proposing. I'm now going to hand over to the CEO of the State Diamond Trader together with his team to take the honorable members through the presentation. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Over to you, CEO.
Good morning, members of the Portfolio Committee. My name is Monica Lidingwane. I realize that the DG might not be aware that I am in today. The CEO will be making the presentation, but I am here today, being my formal first day at work as the chairperson of the State Diamond Trader. Honorable members, I would like to say that all protocol observed as outlined by the DG. Honorable Zed Luzito, I greet you, and your members in the portfolio committee. I greet you, the DG, with your team from DMR. I will not be long myself. The CEO has kindly prepared this presentation with his team, and my part in it, it being my first day today, will be very minimal. But before I go on to the presentation, may I perhaps just introduce myself briefly. As I said, my name is Maledata Monica Lidingwane. I am an attorney by profession. I will not claim to be a guru in the diamond industry. I'm very far from it. But at the same breath, I am no stranger to the industry. I worked for the Department of Minerals and Energy, as it was then called, from 2007 and for some 10-year period, after which I left and joined the private industry. I am back again to government. The act that split the former Diamond Board was drafted by myself and the team that I led when I was working for the department back then. And during the drafting period, we had the good fortune of interacting with various players in the industry and even traveling to places like Antwerp and India, Australia, and so on. While we were drafting that legislation. Even the legislation, Minerals and Petroleum Resources Development Act, when it was drafted, I was still in the department. In the department, I was responsible for legislative trade drafting and for regulation. I've also been a member of the South African Diamond and Precious Metals Regulator, and so I am lightly familiar with the production and regulation side, which they call upstream. It is perhaps my first time going to be directly working with the downstream, but I do have a reasonable appreciation of the downstream challenges, especially around local beneficiation. Honorable Member Losipo, I think in terms of introduction of myself, I will pause there and introduce the team of the CEO that is around the table today. The CEO himself, Mr. Mandla Mguni, I believe you would have met him at some point. He's with us today and he'll be making most of this presentation. We have also with us Mr. Conrad van der Ross, who is the operations manager. We have Ms. Nelisile Mtuango, who is the CFO, and Nobu Shesibeko, who is the legal officer and the company secretary. So, honorable members, that's the team from the State Diamond Trader that is around the table today, ready and willing to take your questions and suggestions. Now, in terms of the introduction of the diamond industry, I trust that members of the portfolio committee would be aware that the story of the diamond in South Africa began a long time ago in 1866, and that when there was a find of what they saw as a transparent rock on a farm, but the actual alluvial discoveries were themselves made in 1869. Now, I'll be taking you through a few slides which are comparative, covering the period mainly between 2015 and 2019 to show the contribution of diamonds to the industry. If we go to slide number 4, that slide compares the contribution of diamonds to the other important minerals, such as coal, platinum, gold, iron, and manganese. And it shows us that the contribution of diamonds is not at all insignificant, as it stands at 0.20%. Now, the next slide, which is on carats produced in South Africa, shows us that there is a decline with regard on the production side, with the peak having been reached on production in 2018. But at the moment, we are on a decline. With regard to value of diamonds produced in South Africa, that unfortunately also is on a decline, mainly due to market conditions, which my colleagues will explain later. We can see that it is now just below 1 billion. And the next slide, which is on the background of rough diamonds, shows that we have not done too badly there since 2014 to 2018. The decline has not been that much on the rough export. The rough import, however, has had some kind of a checkered history, going up and down and fluctuating quite a bit, as you can see, between 2014 and 2018. We seem to be a little bit on the rise there with regard to the import, at least for the year 2018. I think when the figures for 2019 come out, we will see how we stand. But at least at the end of 2018, there was a bit of a rise from 2017. And I think quite importantly, what the state diamond trader would like to assert is that the impact of legislation that was introduced, especially around transformation and introduction of BEE, has not affected the rough diamond export detrimentally, as you can see from that graph on rough export. Moving on to polished diamonds, you can see there that there has been a slow but very steady decline on polished exports, but that there has been a dive with regards to polished imports, especially in the year 2016. It went up a little bit, that is polished imports, in 2017, and seems to be rising slowly in 2018-2019. And on beneficiation licenses, which we are established as the state diamond trader to mainly promote, you can see that we've done quite well. In 2018 and 2019, there is a sharp rise in the number of beneficiation licenses that were issued. But we have had a modest improvement from 2016 to 2018-2019 on diamond dealers licenses. Honorable people, I would like to leave the introduction part there for the CEO to continue with. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Chair of the Portfolio Committee. Greetings to you and to all the members of the Portfolio Committee. Greetings to the DG and the DGG, together with the entire DMRE team. And thanks, Chairperson of the Board, for giving us the brief background about the sector.
Chair, we've been tasked as the state diamond trader to deal with the challenges around the diamond sector. The document that is before the committee, Chair, is based on the information that was gathered through various role players. That includes the 12 years of existence of the state diamond trader. We also gathered information from the private sector and public sector, those that are involved with the diamond. We have also gathered information using some academic journals and articles, and we've also discussed with some professionals and some observations that we had throughout the existence of the entity, which at the end of the day assisted us to have this document that is in front of us. When we go to slide number 9, Chair, there's a summary that we have put. This is of information we've also gathered from the Mineral Council of South Africa and other sources. We understand that in terms of the global contribution, we are ranked as the country at top 10. And in terms of South and Africa, or the continent, we are ranked at number 5. The total contribution of percentage of the diamonds that we are producing as a country to the global diamond sector is about 10%. To the GDP of the country, we are contributing 0.2. That is about 13 billion annually in terms of the GDP, the diamond sector. The carats that we produced 2019 is about 7.2. Employment figures in terms, the direct employment figures in terms of the diamond sector is about 15,000 in 2019, but there's a decline because if you look in 2018, we had about 16,365. Employment earnings, there was also a decline in 2019 to 4.2 billion, as in 2018 was 5.1 billion. There are also contractors, employees, which goes up to 5,900 in the industry. There were no fatalities in terms of health and safety that were reported in the industry during the period. We can go to the next slide, number 10. In terms of the contributions or the production and sales chain, in terms of the carats, you can see 2017, we're standing at about 9.6 million. Then it increased in 2018. Then there was a sharp decline in 2019. The local sales, same, was good in 2017-18, then there was a sharp decline in 2019, which also affected the amount in terms of the sales to in 2019. In terms of the exports, the carats that were exported in 2017 were 9.1 million. There was a bit decline in 2018, and a major decline that was experienced in 2019. This also speaks to the amounts that indicated the decline, especially in 2019. Basically, then the total sales are showing that in 2019, we seriously declined, as the chair also alluded earlier, in terms of the amount from 2017, which was about 18.1 billion to 13.1 billion in 2019. So basically 2019 was not a good year. But this is a summary that we just wanted to give the committee. The next slide, Chair, is about, it's more of academic in nature, but which assists us in scanning the environment in which we are operating, or the diamond sector was operating from. I will summarize that when we go to slide number 13, we are talking, there are seven issues in terms of pastel that we are looking at. The first one is the political situation, which is at slide number 13. Basically, the political talks about the addressing the issues that the legacy of apartheid that we had as a country with the new order. There were acts that were promulgated, others were amended. The Diamond Act of 1986 was amended. We also have the MPRDA legislation, and the mining charter was introduced, and some institutions were also introduced in order to address this challenge, like the state diamond trader, the regulator. There were some acts, the Skills Development Act, the mining qualifications. All of these, Chair, were introduced in order to address the challenges that the industry was facing. Though we must indicate that they didn't achieve fully achieve the desired goals the country had, but there was something that was done in terms of political factors. The next one is slide number 14, the economic factors, Chair. We are taking note in terms of our scanning that the diamond actually is trading on the US dollars, which affects how the trading, because throughout the globally that's done. The current purchases are done in terms of the US dollars. The government funding in South Africa is not there for diamond, both for the startup and the existing companies. The private sector or our banking institutions are also not funding the diamond sector in South Africa. This is only experienced with some international companies, but in South Africa there's a lack. The ITC fund that the state diamond trader or has a REC agreement with has got some challenges, which has not yet also been finalized. But the other conditions that are also attached to that funding. But basically, we can indicate that funding is one lacking challenge or challenge that we have as a country. Slide number 15 was talking about social issues. The unemployment rate, which is currently sitting at, in 2019, was sitting at about 19%. The latest figures have indicated that there's an increase in unemployment rate in South Africa. Of course, as I've indicated earlier, in terms of the unemployed numbers, we also affected the country in terms of the unemployed rate. The COVID also played a major role in terms of the unemployment rate in South Africa. The training of the youth that have not been absorbed is also something that we need to look into, but there's something that we have also scanned. The occupational health and safety have also indicated that the skills in terms of there's improvement. When we go to slide number 16, we are referring there to technology. As a country, slide number 16, as a country, we are lacking in terms of research and development. There is a bit of it, but we need to do more about research and development, especially when it comes to diamond sector and other equipment and technology that has to be used for the industry. The cost of technology makes it, the available technology on the market makes it very inaccessible. So we need to look into that. But the other challenge that, or something that we have also looked when we're scanning the environment or the technology, was about trading online, which some countries have already, or institutions have already started trading online, which we are not doing as a country. The next one is about environment, which is slide number
2017. We are moving to green technology. We are blessed as a country that in terms of, there's an existing legislation that deals with issues of environment, which also talks about rehabilitation after the mining sector. So the situation has improved in terms of environmental issues that South Africa has because of the current legislation and that has been monitored on a regular basis. When it comes to slide number 18 and 19, these are legal issues that we have also observed that there's a red tape in issuing of the licenses for diamond. That's something that needs to be re-look into. The issue of the 80-20 that exists, because in terms of the value and the interpretation between the SARS and the regulator, something that also need to be addressed. The issue of turnaround in terms of the VAT for especially your SMMEs, which takes a bit more than 21 days. It's a challenge to SMEs because of their operational costs that need to be looked into. And the issue of the run of mine is something that we also have scanned. The last issue, Chair, in terms of the past is ethical issues, which is around slide number 20. As a country, at least we are part of the KP process. There are no conflict diamonds in the country. That's what we have observed. The issue of illegal mining, miners or zamazamas need attention because it's there, it exists. The issue of the code of conduct, that doesn't exist. It exists on other entities, but the industry itself doesn't have the code of conduct for the industry at large. We can move to the next slide, where we are going to deal with the diamond value. We can move the next one. Thank you very much. This is the summary, because the diamond value speaks about your exploration, your mining, your manufacturing, which is cutting and polishing, the trading, retail, and jewelry. In all these aspects, Chairperson, there are issues that can, as a country, we can go look into exploration. What are the competitive advantage of the country in terms of exploration, in terms of mining, cutting and polishing? We as an industry, we need to revisit all this diamond pipeline and see what our competitive advantage, where we can explore them better. But this is just a general mining diamond mining a value chain, which also talks to your five quotas models. Currently in the country, we have the bargaining powers of the suppliers, which more are your producers. How many, the next slide, you can take the next slide. Yeah, basically these are your producers. That we have. Currently, there are no new producers. It's still the same old faces in the country that we have looked into. There's a view that the site holders have declined. Previously, there used to be more than 20 site holders. Currently, there are about six site holders for DPS, which is a major role player in the diamond sector, something that we need to look at when we're scanning the environment. The new entrants are not there, especially for beneficiation, something that we need to also look into. Then the threat of the substitute of the product itself, which is your synthetic diamonds. These are the issues that we have checked, Chair, when we're scanning the environment as the state diamond trader, as I've indicated that looking into it together with other
role players. We can now move to slide number 26, which we are talking about the challenges. These are general challenges that we have come up with. They might not be the all challenges because there are a number of role players in the industry itself, but these are the ones that we have identified. The issue of dual licensing for dealers and beneficiaries that need to be looked into. No grant funding or funding policies for the diamond industry. I indicated earlier, Chair, that the startups, the existing role players, there's no funding at all, no even funding from the government. So both the private sector and the public sector is not funding the diamond industry. We're not talking only about the state diamond trader. We're just talking about the industry at large. The industry is capital intense, which and is also mostly driven by foreign investment. We are not saying foreign investment is not critical. We need foreign investment. However, we need also to spend more time and resources for the local industry or for local role players. The other one is there's no recognized qualifications in the diamond sector. The issue of 80-20 rule for beneficiation licensing, which you have to manufacture at least 20% before you export the 20%, is something that needs to be looked into, because it's with the dealers, it's a different situation. The dealers, that rule doesn't apply. Hence, when you look at the presentation earlier, it indicated that we have more dealers licensing than the beneficiary license. Basically, I think this role plays a major role that needs to be looked into. The cost of manufacturing in South Africa is a bit high in terms of especially your small diamonds, though we are at par with US, Belgium, and Israel. However, India, in terms of the manufacturing, because of of the labor cost, which is low, is producing more. Hence, some of the countries, they are also taking their smalls to India for cutting and polishing. Something that, as a country, we need to look into, because we are producing more of the smalls. Something where we have to look whether the technology cannot assist and other things to ensure that we do that, because we do have a lot of smalls that we produce as a country. But at the same time, looking at that 80-20% rule, which is whether is it not a barrier or to this. There's a barrier of a new entrance on the market because of legislation, something that we need to be looked into, the startup capital, the office space, the access to technology, and all these other aspects that need to be looked in. We can move to the next slide. We are continuing with our challenges. There's a limit to marketing because South Africa, we are not marketing our diamonds as we are supposed to. I've indicated earlier about online trading that we don't have. It's another challenge that we have, especially since we are in COVID situation. We have experienced that those that have these resources were in a position that they can utilize those platforms, something that we basically need to look into. There's no manufacturing and diamond hub with a technology that can, a latest technology that can be utilized. So it's something that as a challenge that we need to look into. No research and development, I've indicated earlier. There's a decline in rough diamond production. We also taking note that there was no new diamond discovery for the last 10 to 15 years. We have indicated also about the synthetic or lab-grown diamonds that are flooding the market, which we as a state diamond trader were focusing on rough, something that we need to look as a country, whether we can take advantage of them or what is it that we need to do or review the legislation, because we are dealing with rough diamonds. The main challenges are the five: the finance, RAF, access to RAF, the markets, the skills and technology. We can move to the next slide. In summary, those are the challenges. And then the opportunities, we spoke about opportunities in terms of intervention, because opportunities out of the challenges, we can look at the opportunities that are there. We saying that we need to create a startup fund for local diamond manufacturing business, especially for the SMMEs. We need to source suitable rough diamonds or outside the country, because we feel that we can still get more diamonds from the outside the country, especially around Africa, to assist even our small businesses, and that will even make our economy to increase. We need to have a strong marketing team or arm, like your brand SA, Proudly South Africa, and other role players within the diamond sector. And then we have a good marketing team that can take South Africa forward. We have to look into collaboration with MinTech, CSIR, and other role players in terms of developing technology, the research and development, and manufacturing equipment, which could be cheaper and accessible in the country. We need to review the legislation to create an enabling environment where we need to consider either the state diamond trader or have another wing that will look into promoting export in the country to other countries. Training and development that we can be recognized in South Africa, or can have one structure that looks into training and development in order for skills development within the country. We can move to the next slide. Chair, the establishment of the enterprise hub is where we will have the latest technology, have access to technology, especially for your imaging or new business people. That's critical, even for training purposes. We need to establish a SADC diamond trading hub in South Africa. We are looking at, as a state diamond trader, that we need to host the South African Diamond Show, which can assist in promoting our diamonds, which, of course, can be done together with the SADC. Involved stakeholders, regulator, and ensuring that all the challenges that we have fleshed addressed. We looking at developing a diamond beneficiation strategy, because currently our strategy is fragmented, and basically we also need to review our legislation and our regulation. We can continue. Yeah, Chair, basically these are the issues that we can indicate as a state diamond trader after we have conducted the scanning of the environment and the challenges that are there. Thanks very much, Chair, for giving us this opportunity to present to the committee.
Thank you very much, CEO. My apologies, the chair of the board, for not actually introducing you formally to the honorable members, and also welcoming you and acknowledging your attendance and presence in this meeting. My apologies. Honorable chair, that is the feedback. Thank you very much. I would like to hand over now back to you. Thank you. Honourable Chair.
Chairperson.
Okay.
Apologies, Chair is experiencing network challenges. I'm trying to reach him.
Same here with me. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, DG, the State Diamond Trader, as well as the presentation. Thank you. You are welcome, Chair, for the State Diamond Trader. I like your energy, and I'm sure there's hope when we've got people who hit the ground running from the word go. I'm sure when they put you, they know that they say when everything seems to be impossible, it's only women who can make it possible. So we welcome you, and I think you made a good impression to what we think is better things that are coming, and also your in-depth understanding of public service as well as the minerals industry and the specific reference on issues that are related to the diamond sector, diamond industry. Honorable members, I'm trying to check any take in terms of the questions of clarity or comments. Okay, I see Mom Phillips. Honorable Sungula, Honorable Mahlaule. Honorable Pola. Okay. Honorable Phillips.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for the presentation. I'd just like one matter to be clarified, please. On the one slide, we were told that we're amongst the top five in Africa, and then the next statement is 10% of global diamonds. Can we have them either as the top how many in the world, and then the percentage of global diamonds, or what percentage of diamonds in Africa are we producing if we're in the top five? Thank you very much.
Okay.
My apologies. I have noticed that Honorable Langa is trying to raise his hand. But he doesn't seem to be successful. So I'm just bringing that to your attention.
Honorable Langa, okay. Thank you for that. You'll come, okay. Noted. Okay, Honorable Sungula.
Thank you, Chair. I want to welcome the report. I've got a couple of questions. The first one is in relation to the Zamazamas. We know it's a very, very big issue, particularly because it's not only affecting the minerals that are stolen from our country, but also the criminality or the crimes associated, particularly for the communities. So I wanted to find out, I picked up on the report, it's being highlighted, but I didn't get a sense as to what is being done to deal with the issue. Secondly, is it a priority, particularly from the political leadership? Second question is in regard to the beneficiation. I want to find out what is the current output as compared to the license agreements of that 80-20 rule. Lastly, on the issue of transformation, what are the action plans to transform or open up the industry to make sure that there is more players in the industry, particularly the African majority players? Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Mahlaule.
Thank you very much, Chair. Greetings to yourself, Chair, and colleagues. Greetings to the DG and the department. Special greetings to the newly appointed Chair of SDT. And greetings to the staff of the department and that of Parliament. Thank you very much, Chair. Just one question. With regards to the Continental Trade Agreement, when we say it is good that Zimbabwean diamonds are now allowed to enter the market, DRC or whatever country in the continent is now allowed to enter the continent, what is it that we can say is an advantage to the South African diamond industry with regards to that? I would want the CEO to expand on that, with the advantages of having other African countries allowed to trade formally in diamonds. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Kola.
No, thanks, Chairman. My gadget here was giving me a problem, Chair. Let me send greetings to you, Chair, to members of the Portfolio Committee, the department under the capable leadership of the DG, and to the state diamond trader. I want to understand, I only have two questions, Chair. I want to understand from the state diamond trader that because the prices of manufacturing and processing diamonds in the country are very high. Therefore, it makes us to be unable to compete on an even footing with countries such as India. What is it that they then suggest that ought to be done to ensure that we become competitive in that particular space? The second question is around the creation of the SADC Diamond Hub. How far are we as the state diamond trader with regards to that? When are we likely to see a major movement in that regard? Because I think it's something that will be welcomed by many of us in the portfolio committee. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Honorable Langa.
Thank you, Chairperson. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to portfolio committee members, DG, and department staff, and diamond trader management. And thank you, Honorable Mashaole, for alerting the chairperson to note me as well. It's good to see that in this portfolio committee, you see no political lines. We don't want to see anyone left out. I have a few questions here, maybe just two questions to be more precise. Mine will be speaks to employment. On your presentation, CEO, it reflected that like in 2019, it was more than in the employee in the diamond sector, more than 15,000. So I just wanted to check in terms of stats, as in how many black women, youth and people with a disability are in the employ, at least in the percentages. It doesn't have to be the precise numbers. And also, if you could reflect on the transformation on management position, if you can detail maybe as in how many black people are in management positions and how many black women and how many people with disabilities are in management as well. And lastly, you spoke on challenges, and one of the elements that I picked there was that it's the outdated, you spoke of the outdated legislation. Maybe if you can further elaborate as in how the current legislation affects the diamond sector. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Members, DJ and your team.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Without any waste of time, I would like to hand over to the CEO. Then I will come in later at the end. Maybe the chair would also be assisting of the trader. Over to you, CEO.
Thanks, Chair. I'll hand to my colleagues, then I'll be the last chair, if you don't mind. As from technical point of view, and then from there, I will close the gaps where they left the gap together with the chairperson.
No problem.
I'll start with the operations manager.
Good day, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members and DG. I think what the questions that I will touch base on is we'll be talking about outdated legislation. I think it's more to say that after the 12 year of implementation of the current legislation, we were able to see some shortcomings. And with more specifically, the slide that we included around the number of dealers and the number of beneficiaries gives an indication that there's more dealers than beneficiaries when our objective was to promote beneficiation. It means that your diamond dealers haven't got the same restrictions placed on them as those of your beneficiaries. By that, what I mean is that through our analysis of our existence, we've analyzed that 85% of African production is not economically viable to be manufactured. That means 15% is available. So the application, like we spoke about in the slide, of how SARS and how SADPMR applies that, a beneficiary has to be exempt from the 5% export has to prove that they have manufactured 80% of what they purchased over a period, and that's by volume. Now, if we are purchasing run of mine, say diamond traders have got access to run of mine, that in itself then poses a challenge for the beneficiary to prove that they have manufactured 80% in order to allow them then to export the 15%. So it's just that contradictions that we're talking about. And wanted to point out that the landscape has changed where people are now applying more for dealing licenses because it's easier for them to export those goods as well. If we look at even the stats around the rough exports, the rough exports and the relationship between the Polish exports, there's a disparity there. There's clearly more rough being exported than what is actually being manufactured. And then that's on the question around what the benefit could be for South Africa with the continental trade agreements. Most of African diamond productions are finding their way to Dubai and to other countries. As South Africa, and if we take into account that our mines or lifespan is coming close to an end as a volume-wise and value-wise, it then opens opportunity for South Africa to also diversify and actually become a trading hub for those African countries in order for them then to pass their goods through South Africa. And that would be a benefit not just for the industry of having more access to rough, but as a benefit then to all other sectors. When we're talking about tourism, we're talking about all these other sectors that can benefit from an initiative in that way. In relation to the question around the percentage of diamonds that we produce in South Africa, I'm just busy getting those stats together, and I will respond to that question, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Mzanguni, who is next?
Okay. Thanks, Chair. I'll respond to the question that was posed by Honorable Mahlaule, especially about the issue of having diamonds from other countries, where he referred to like Zimbabwe. Basically, we have skills, we have companies that are operating in South Africa. the document that we have in our at our disposal, Chair, we can make it available that we got it from, as I've earlier indicated, that the information that we have is a collaboration between other stakeholders. This is from the Mining Council. They've got a detailed document which also indicates the statistics as the Honorable Mr. Langa has wanted information about the transformation employment figures. That document, Chair, we will make it available for members. Then they can see the full statistics about transformation, issues of women, issues of youth, and people with disability that are addressed there, Chairperson. The other question that was asked about, I think it's Honorable Mr. Zungula, it's about the Zamazamas. This doesn't fall within the state diamond trader, but it does fall within the industry itself. It's something that the regulator was dealing with and the department. There's work that has already been done about it, and I know there was a feasibility study that was done, and the matter is receiving attention. Though we cannot say it's fully finalized, but there's something that has been done since 2 years ago. Then that has been given priority. I remember even chairing the previous administration, the then deputy minister was the one spearheading also this together with the regulator. So I think that is getting attention, Chair. The issue of the percentage, we are still getting those statistics, Chair. We'll make them available about how much in terms of percentage are we contributing to the entire continent. However, we've indicated that 10% of the global market, but we'll give the information in due course, Chairperson. I think I've covered all the questions, Chair, unless I've left something the Chair can assist us.
Thank you, Chair of the committee. And thank you to the CEO and the team for taking the questions that they have. I believe they have adequately covered the questions that have been posed by members. And we will look to the DG to assist with regards to the Zamazama issue that was raised. But I think from my side, I would only just like to add on two questions. One that was asked by Honorable Kula and another by Honorable Langa. With regards to Honorable Kula's question on prices of manufacturing being high, I would like to posit that the decline in manufacturing is actually a function not only of high prices of RAF, but of many things, such as tax incentives, such as employment laws and the wages. And as the CEO and his team have pointed out, we believe that things like the Diamond Hub would assist with regard to these things. So I mentioned to you that when we were drafting the legislation, one of the areas that we visited was India. And we found when we went there, something that members of the committee would also know, that, of course, I think it is well known that the Indian people are very good in cutting what we call in South Africa the small or the uncuttable. And, of course, some people dispute the term uncuttable in that if it is cut elsewhere, it can also be cut in South Africa. But for some reason, the Indians seem to have mastered the skill of cutting what we call the uncuttable here in South Africa. Not only are they astute with regard to this aspect, they have also got hubs that are seriously and competitively promoted by government. So they're given certain tax incentives, and there are certain concessions that are made with regard to employment laws, which have been done it so many years ago, I can't remember exactly. But the argument has always been that with regard to South Africa, it's not only that the diamonds are out of reach of an ordinary diamond cutter, but it's also that we have not come to the table at the same speed and magnitude as other countries have, such as Andhra and India, with regard to the cutting of diamonds. So I suppose this is why the CEO and his team are having these suggestions around the hubs. But the hubs would work if the tax incentives would also come to the table. And on the legislation being outdated, I think it is a normal and natural process that following implementation of legislation, you then start to see the gaps through implementation and unintended consequences that you would not have picked up when you drafted the legislation. So I would say that it's about time, having implemented the legislation and having seen the loopholes that are there, to now come back and review and plug and close those holes. Honourable members, I think that's all I would like to add at this point. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Can you mute Monica? Thank you. No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. On the question of Zamazamas, we are currently in the process as the department of drafting artisanal and small-scale mining policy, which will be published for comments very soon. Now, the primary objective of the policy is to facilitate licensing of small operations and also to ensure that they are finally brought into the mainstream of our economy. The policy will form the basis of the regulation of artisanal miners, where they will have opportunity to participate like the majors. Now, the issue of the illegal activities that are taking place is a matter that we have discussed in his maiden speech. The minister highlighted this point by saying that, affirming that there will be interactions with the Minister of Police, because we believe that there are elements that would need to be dealt with, and that must be dealt with by the law enforcement agencies. But the commitment from the department to create a conducive environment for the small players, our artisanal miners, also to come into the mining industry, you would actually take note of the pieces of legislation that they are required to comply with. When you look at the requirements of the MPRDA, when you look at the requirements also of the Mine Health and Safety Act, you would also look at the requirements of the National Environmental Management Act. And now we need to make sure that we create a better environment. I know that this issue from even the fifth administration or parliament is a matter that the PPC has been very much clear about in terms of what the department would need to do in dealing with the issue of Zamazamas and so forth. And so I think, Chair, we will pause there and await if there are any further questions or clarity from the honourable members. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair.
Okay, thank you, DG. Thank you to the department and the state diamond trader. Any follow-up questions, honourable members? Yeah, I can see now it's almost towards the year end. I hope members are not suffering from mental fatigue. Maybe you are looking forward to the rest. Thank you, DG, for the presentation and the State Diamond Trader for making that proper presentation. I can't say you are relieved. The committee is still continuing with its work at this stage. I must say that we still expect the department to come back probably to deal with the issue that relates to the now financial sustainability of three of its entities and be able to give confidence on what is it that they think will have to be done or specific interventions if they are necessary. And amongst those, it's going to be still the State Diamond Trader so in terms of the work that must be done. Thank you very much, DG. Tell the minister I would love to see him before we wrap the year. There has been too much missed by the committee. Let me put it in that way. Probably when we deal with the most serious matter, it might require also his assurance and on what has to happen, like I raised probably next week. Having said so, honorable members, can we now go to the minutes? Are the minutes of the 24th? Yes. Yes, page 1. Page 2, which is on DMR, page 3, which is discussions, look out for your radio, wherever it is. It's nice music. But unfortunately, why it works. Okay. Page 4. Of corrections or additions.
Good morning, Chair. I move for the adoption of the minutes, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Walmarans. Any seconder? There is a song in Africa that Africans sing.
Chairperson, I said
that says Tina, so la la la. So don't be careful. I will wait until we sleep here. Okay, thank you, Honorable Mastaule. Any matters arising, honorable members?
Morning, Chair.
Yes, Honorable. Yes, Honourable.
Chair, I just want to know, I did forward that request for the information via your office, but I haven't received anything. Is it still in the pipeline, and when will I be getting it?
Did you? You made a commitment, you must live up to it. DG. Hey, has the DG disappeared? I only see your DG, I only see your camera that is says on. Your mic is still muted.
My apologies, sir. No, we are still here, sir. My apologies.
Yes. There's a question. You promised to submit the information. That's why I said when a person makes the commitment to the committee, that person makes the commitment on behalf of the department. You made a commitment that you must be supplied and you will come back. And the information has been supplied as per the request from the department.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I have issued an instruction for the information to be submitted. I can verify that with the chief editor in my office, but I know that the information was supposed to be prepared and be submitted to the secretary or secretaries of the committee.
Okay, let me make it simple for you. Is there any information you have received?
Not on my side, Chair.
Nothing yet, Chair.
DG, let's make it simple. By next week, Monday, by next week, Monday, not next week, Tuesday, Now, this remains an outstanding matter. It's not matters arising. That's how it's going to be recorded on the minutes of today. That information, we must give an update, must have been received when we deal with outstanding matters. My advice is that between now and Friday, please submit the information as per your commitment. Ne?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay. That's fine. We will come back, Honorable Phillips. The matter remains an outstanding matter. Not now a matter is arising. It's an outstanding matter. It will be contained when we deal with the adoption of these minutes today. Okay. Honorable members, let's go to the minutes of the 24th. The last time you allowed me to say the minutes of the 24th, when you know that is the 24th is today, it's supposed to be the minutes of the 17th. My apologies, we're not dealing with the minutes of the 24th, we're dealing with the minutes of the 17th. Now we are dealing with the minutes of the 18th. Flag them, please, Ari.
Let me get it quickly.
Okay, honorable members, the minutes of the 18th go to point 1, point 2, that's point 3, point 4, on with discussions. Okay, 6.7. Any move of the minutes?
Chair, I move adoption.
Thank you, Honorable Mylem. Any second?
I second.
Thank you, Honorable Kola. Any matters arising? Okay, agreed to. Can we go now on the last issue? I nearly pressed Ari. I nearly pressed leave in the meeting.
I almost made that mistake as well, Chair.
Okay, we then have the... Are we dealing with it now, Ari, or I must just outline to members?
The what, Chair? The Mr. Bylum correspondence?
Yes. The program.
We can flight it. I can flight the Chair.
Yes.
For next week.
For next week and for the first quarter. But let me start. Honorable members, last week, Honorable Mylum, the reason we needed, we had to table the request on a matter that you requested that it be tabled for the committee's attention, that you would want it to be brought into the House, but there have been developments anyway since last week. You will recall that the honorable, now not only you, it's not referring to you, I'm now referring to all honorable members. You will recall that the initial program was saying we are finishing on the 4th, or on the first week. Hey, Mabukula. Mabukula. Nice music. Now, we were then told that with regards to the report, the condition was that if we go to Petro SA, it would be that by the 29th, when the House rises, we must have submitted the report from Petro SA. But subsequent to that, now we've been made again aware that we are right, the House is rising on the 4th of December. At that time, we had taken out two items. The report we were supposed to adopt it this week, where that pressure for Petro SA. Number two, we had taken out the issue of the update by the department on the issue of the strategic stock. Now, we have reinstated those items because they were already on the program approved initially. We have reinstated those issues, but on the issue that relates to the strategic stock, we said the department must also brief us on the outcomes and implications of the Western Cape judgment that reversed the sale of the strategic stock. That is why I was saying to the DG, we hope the minister, as a point of assurance, will do everything possible to be part of the committee on that matter, to be specific, and serve with regards to the strategic stock. So that item now, we have put it in there. We have then said that the report must be sent to members so that we do justice on Wednesday to the reports on the oversight visits. We will deal with the report, and at the same time, adopt the report with the amendments if they are able. So members must make it a point that they go through the report. That's what we did, so that we don't make a completely new application. We have, because the matter that then Honorable Mylum, you were talking about, it's a matter that we think it's important to even for the committee. We have put it now as part of our first quarter program in 2021, which includes, amongst other things, the issue of the, I don't want to call it an oversight, but visits. Can we go to that first part? Yes. One of the things which we think will not necessarily need, and I know members will not necessarily need anything like an application for accommodation, what. We might only need the shuttles. Is that we need to consider the issue of a visit to the Quebec nuclear power plant. Two is the issue of a visit to the Saldanha, to Saldanha, as well as a visit to the headquarters of Petro SA, which are in Paro, which means we'll be within, if one were to say, Cape Town to some degree, Saldanha, which is not far. And then the issue of the Milnerton refinery. That is what we said. We then had to accommodate, to include the matter of what will be coming out of the sauna. Then with to deal with the issue of the COVID-19 regulations by Mayoral Council and protocols. Then the issue of the merger of the three entities, the briefing by SAF, which they made the commitment, including Petro SA, by the way, on project increase, including those forensic reports we were told they are out. And then there's an update based on the commitment made with regards to the solar water heaters, which we were told that they will be done by January, so it may not necessarily. Then there is an issue of the cluster of the criminal justice system and the department with regards to the issue of illegal mining. Then there is an issue of an update in terms of the nuclear new build RFI. Then there is not overlapping function, the common work that is being done with regards to the medical and other related, like the protective equipment that is done by the three entities. It's there. Then we will deal with the issues on the outstanding audits of the entities that AGSA had responded to. We will also say we must also deal with the issue of the turnaround strategy, as well as the issue of the restructuring, which is NEXA, and the restructuring that SAF. And there is an issue which I think it might be exhausted, Ari and Ayanda, tomorrow. The issue of the strategic stock, we're dealing with that issue next week. And then it's the briefing on the annual reports by the entities mostly and the department. So that's what we are putting for the first quarter for which will be next year. We have tried then to say the point that Honorable Milam is raising is a current issue. We have included that matter, but it's up to members now whether, in terms of the date, we will see how to prioritize those activities. I don't know any take from Honorable Members.
Chairperson?
Honorable Milam?
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm very happy with this proposed program. I'd just like to add one element to it, if I may. And that is...
You are allowed.
Sorry?
You are allowed. You are a member of the committee.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, it's there's been a lot of to-ing and fro-ing with regard to NERSA and their relationship with ESCOM over tariff determinations. And I think that we need to get a briefing from NERSA as to how they propose to resolve this impasse, how they will avoid future court action between themselves and Eskom, what they're doing to better determine the tariffs, and how they're going to keep electricity costs down for consumers and businesses in South Africa. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I don't think it's a good, but we will try our level best. If there is a challenge, we will come back to this committee. Because one other issue we'll remember the committee resolved on was for the department to come and brief us both on the minerals and energy licensing regime in terms of the systems. One, the SAMRA system, I'm not sure the one on that regards to energy. We will, as I said, that I don't think it's a big deal. Where possible, we will also consider, like we said here, joint portfolio committees. But we can include that one. I don't think it's a big deal. We will see whether all of them they can fit. Remember, part of the problem on the first quarter. And the second quarter in particular is the issue of the annual performance plans, the budget, as well as the annual targets of the department. But I take the point, but when the program is almost finally adopted, we will come back to you. When it's finalized as in terms of the categories. One other thing I must say also in advance, honorable members, this program is also subject to the program of Parliament. I'm sure we all know the experience that focus areas is what the House Chairperson gives us. At times we are told this is what you must do. So some of these issues may not necessarily be there, but we put them all here. What we need to do now is to go back and prioritize them according to what is deemed. Is there any other issue, honorable members? Okay. In the absence of any further comments, honorable members, thank you very much.
Chair.
Honorable Mashaule.
Just a request that I'm not sure whether it has been sent to us or not. This what we're seeing on the screen now. That if it's not sent, it be sent. If it's sent, we
put the amended one.
Yes, Chair.
Okay, no, it's fine. If it's not sent, it will be sent. I thought it has been sent to members. Please accept my apology if it was not. But we will also send it now with the added and the amended. For instance, we'll take out the update because it's already going to take place next week or Tuesday. Okay, honorable members, if being the case that is, if it might be, okay, what's happening now? Being the case as it may, thank you very much for your attendance. Let's continue to act very cautiously on this virus. It's extremely bad. Let's do our best, and we must keep on not be shy to caution our people. I can tell you now that I had three funerals of relatives in the Eastern Cape this past weekend, and most of them, I may not mention, were because of this virus. So it is bad. And I think we must continue as public representatives do our work to conscientize, make people aware about what happens. And in most cases, is that it's becoming the older people who may not necessarily be going out every time, but they get out of the younger generation that is out there. Let's do our best to play our part in cautioning our people. Honorable members, thank you very much for your participation. Let's meet tomorrow again at 9 o'clock. Thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Goodbye, everyone.
Thank you, Chair.